Hello?
Hey, Static Selector, this is Andrew Octopus. What's happening, man?
What's up, man?
Hey, how are you?
Chillin'.
So you just released this new mix CD with Nas, right?
Yep.
He's pretty much a legend. He can do whatever he wants to. How did this project come about with you?
Why do you think he decided to do this project with you at this time?
Basically, we did it actually before Streets Disciple was even done.
Okay.
And, you know, it was done in the summertime. He basically saw what I was doing with the other mixtapes, and he was just down to host it. So he hosted it, and then I got the verse for the joint I produced and put it all together. And then that's about it.
What would you say was the first mixtape that really broke you? Would you say it was Spell My Name Right?
First mixtape what?
What was the first mixtape that really blew you up, that really got you out in the public consciousness?
Probably the CD I did with Talib Kweli about 2.5 years ago. But I mean, you know, every CD that's come out since has really brought it to the next level. The Nas is definitely the biggest yet.
What do you think is the secret to your success in the mixtape game? Why does your fame and reputation keep growing with each release?
Really, quality. I mean, anybody can put out a CD. It's about quality of the tapes, you know, the way you mix and blend or whatever, the way, even if you don't do all that, just the selection of music.
I have a theory as to why mixtapes are really increasing in popularity in the last couple of years, along with other new media. It's because people are really fed up with major record labels and corporate radio all sounding the same. And so when they come to their mixtape DJ, they know that they're closer to someone who's actually independent and local and represents what they want to hear. Do you think that mixtapes will continue to grow in popularity in the next few years, and what do you think their role will be?
Mixtape DJs are street A&Rs. They ain't off the streets. A lot of record labels sign cats that are getting a lot of love on mixtapes because it's saying, you know, people, the streets talk, and I mean, that's who really buys the records. So, I mean, that's the way it works with that.
What are some projects that you have coming up that people should know about and be looking out for?
I got a CD coming out with Rockefeller Records, basically their 2005 roster, and it's gonna have it's hosted by Freeway, but it they got the music from Foxy Brown, Memphis Bleek, Young Guns. I got another CD coming out. It's not titled yet, but DJ Premier. I was in the studio with him last night. He gave me a lot of music for that, so it's gonna be, you know, more street shit. But I'm just gonna keep, you know, I got some ideas. I got an album coming out in May, probably, maybe early June.
What kind of music are you influenced by? What do you listen to besides hip hop and the stuff that you are mixing for your mixtapes? What are you into?
That you listen to that influence you. What are some things that you listen to when you're not listening to things from mixtapes? Is there anything you listen to besides like rap and hip hop that really affects you?
I mean, I listen to every kind of music, but I mean, you know, I follow the you know, the classics. I listen to a lot of, you know, Gangstar, Tribe Called Quest, Mobb Deep, Nas. I mean, I follow a lot of that, but other than hip hop, I mean, I listen to everything. I try to keep my ear on what's going on. I listen to a lot of jazz, you know, reggae, everything.
Me and my man Miami Dice are working on a new mix CD project with local Asheville artists and going to be releasing it hopefully by March, putting it together right now.
It's not really connected.
It's a project that we're working on and combine MCs with experimental production and information.
No doubt.
We're going to distribute it around local record stores and make it available online and hopefully raise some money for the local free radio station, Free Radio Asheville. Is there anything you feel like people should know about Mixtape Game or your career or anything that you haven't talked about already?
Basically, don't let people tell you what's hot and what's not. I think a lot of, you know, obviously radio and TV tells you what's hot for the season or what's the new thing and all that. It's like, follow your own ear. I mean, there's a lot of quality stuff that's going to be coming out soon that, you know, a lot of people aren't exposed to.
Right.
So basically, you know, support what you like.
People have to learn how to trust their own minds, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. I really appreciate
you talking with me so much. Thank you. Check out the new mix CD from Static Selector with Nas called The Prophecy, available now at staticselector.com. www.staticselector.com. That's staticselector.com. Also look out for Spell My Name Right, the new solo album from DJ Mixtape DJ Static Selector. Appreciate you talking with me, man. And keep listening to Mental Illness as a Technology and vice versa. This is a story from USA Today by Greg Topo. Today, Monday, January 31st, 7:20 a.m. 1 in 3 U.S. high school students say the press ought to be more restricted, and even more say the government should approve newspaper stories before readers say them, according to a survey being released today. The survey of 112,003 students finds that 36% believe newspapers should put, quote, government approval, quote, of stories before publishing. 51% say they should be able to publish freely. 13% have no opinion. Asked whether the press enjoys, quote, too much freedom, end quote, not enough, or about the right amount, 32% say too much, and 37% say it has the right amount. 10% say it has too little. The Survey of First Amendment Rights was commissioned by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation and conducted last spring by the University of Connecticut. It also questioned 327 principals and 7,889 teachers. The findings aren't surprising to Jack Dvorak, director of the High School Journalism Institute at Indiana University in Bloomington. Even professional journalists are often unaware of the lot of freedoms that might be associated with the First Amendment, he says. The survey confirms what a lot of people who are interested in this area have known for a long time, he says. Kids aren't learning enough about the First Amendment in history, civics, or English classes. It also tracks closely with recent findings of adults' attitudes. It's part of our Constitution, so this should be part of a formal education, says Dvorak, who has worked with student journalists since 1968. Although a large majority of students surveyed say musicians and others should be allowed to express unpopular opinions, 74% say people shouldn't be able to burn or deface an American flag as a political statement. 75% mistakenly believe it is already illegal. And it goes on to talk about a first-year student at Ivy Tech State College who credits his journalism advisor in high school with teaching students about the First Amendment, etc. I don't think people don't know that journalists aren't afforded protections by the First Amendment. I think you just have a bunch of people who are willing to trade freedom for security and willing to trade freedom for the right not to have their worldview challenged. Yeah, I really don't think the problem is a lack of education about what's in the Constitution. I think the problem is a lack of understanding about why those protections are necessary. And if you look at it, with the discrediting and reshaping and warping that the Constitution has been receiving in recent years, it's not surprising. But it is very, very frightening. In just a minute, I'll be talking with Chloe. Close is an Asheville area artist who is going to be releasing a new album in a couple of weeks. She has a very unique and appealing sound. And then we're going to go back to some music, so stick around for that.
If I've got warrants or it shows in the news never said, we don't back your story. They just said, we apologize, we don't know. He had eyewitnesses. He had former heads of the DEA in Latin America.
Company ID card. And I said, the next thing they'll ask you to do is to get a chip in your hand.
I'm working with another film company on a drug war film, and I had interviewed Ricky Ross from prison. He's right here in Texas, actually, up in the Panhandle.
Speaking with Close. Hello, Close.
You never get a second chance to make a first impression. So, Ms. Close, how would you define yourself and your sound for people who haven't heard you before?
Any words that you want to use?
I believe that my sound is very emotional and sexy at the same time. I'm not one of those female MCs who's trying to sound like someone that I'm not, all hard. Well, maybe a lot of them are hard, but I'm not trying to give the wrong impression in that light, because everything that I feel like I should express it the way that I feel it. And if I sound like a chilled out girl, which is what I am most of the time, then that's how it's going to be conveyed through my music. So, and I also write a lot about personal life experiences, things that I go through, and a lot of, you know, social politics, love, but it's got a real chilled out, laid back grooves most of the time. I do have some more radio style joints too, though.
So would you say that the part of what defines you is your complexity of your subject matter?
Yeah, I think I have a simple complexity, though. You know, I talk about deep things a lot, but I try to make it simple, you know, the way I'm saying it. I used to try to, like, write rhymes and use the biggest words that I could so that I would sound more intelligent, because it's always been important to me to have people, you know, hear me as someone who's impacting and trying to say something that means something. But sometimes you could say things lightly and just straight out come out and say it and not use all the crazy metaphors, and it sounds just good. So complexity, yeah, but I want to, like, balance it out with being simple, too, you know?
What? Tell us about your musical experiences, other albums that you may have done in the past leading up to this album, the connections that you're releasing in 2 weeks.
I've done other albums. I used to be in a group called Phonosynthesis. It was a duo, and we did, like, 2 independent albums, and then I had another independent album that I just sold locally and, you know, hand-to-hand on the streets and stuff like that, self-swinging. But this is my first real project that I'm releasing.
What do you feel like influences you?
What do you feel like are your musical influence, or your influences both musically and personally? The key to your musical identity.
The key to my musical identity is me living through my music and learning while I'm recording and writing and, you know, being involved in music, because I really don't think I would be as happy as I am today if I hadn't had music to get me through a lot of things that I've gone through in my life. It's kind of like my escape.
Is there a particular song?
Has there been particular songs or artists, a particular song or artist or album that's been especially important? Or
just one song or album?
No, but, you know,
that's hard.
Examples, like various artists and albums and songs.
Examples, various albums and artists and songs.
A lot. Right now, Bjork is, like, she's a major influence of mine. I really like musicians that just take it to another level, and you can't really compare them to anybody else. It's just like their distinct sound. I'm also listening to this group on London Records right now called Bride. I think they've been around for a couple of years, but I just found out about them, and I'm bumping that a lot right now. There's so much music. I mean, anything that has substance matter, but, you know, still, it always seems like it's one way or the other with music. It's like, if you're underground, you've got all the great subject matter, but your beats are just lacking to me, it seems, a lot. Not in all instances. You know, there's a lot of good underground beats, but and then also with, like, commercial music, the beats are always so banging, but the subject matter is just week, but I don't know, anything that has a combination of both really banging beats and good subject matter.
You mentioned that you like to write about social and political
issues. How would you define your world viewpoint or your political philosophy, or where are you coming from when you write socially and politically?
Well, I think it's very important that you maintain the quality of your self-presence and your essence, and not really get sucked in to the man. I know it's a common thread that a lot of people say, but it's true. And, you know, I believe in, like, overcoming the way the world is by kind of rowing with it, you know, flowing with it, and just doing the best you can with what you love to do and sticking to your passions yet staying grounded. And it's a very hard thing to do, because when you are stuck on your passions, it's really hard to be grounded and realistic about what's going on. And when you are so realistic, it's hard to remember about your passions. So you have to kind of balance it out. And I would just say my worldview is to be you and be strong. I don't know if that sounds cheesy.
When I talked to Static Selector earlier about his new mix CD, he said that it was important for listeners to trust their own minds, and that's what he really wants to see, is people trusting their own taste versus what TV or radio tell them. Do you have any thoughts about that and your experience in the music industry?
That would be the great and excellent way for things to go, but when money gets involved in the industry, that seems to be more important to a lot of people. And you can pay a radio station off to play your song, and they're going to play that song over the good song. I've had someone, an A&R, tell me once that they can't play my stuff on the radio because it's too good. They're like, they won't listen to this. You sound good, and you're talking about something. And he was like, you just need to go to Europe. They'll like you over there. Sure enough, where are we marketing and trying to market my stuff now? I'm going to be over in Europe and overseas, because I think here it is more directed on money. And I would love it if us as a community or country would be able to just turn on the radio and listen to something we wanted to, because a lot of it is crap.
Well, that's why
people have to support free radio and local musicians and independent music. A lot of stuff that seems to be independent, though, is really just still stuck in that same kind of mainstream commercial matrix. Like Raucous, the record label, I thought they were so independent, but their funding came from Rupert, the son of Rupert Murdoch, who owned Fox News. So it's really, really hard to get out of the system, even when you think you found someone who has.
Yeah.
You usually end up being disappointed.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Do you think that music is related?
Do you think
my album will be available on Valentine's Day for everyone? You can purchase it at 26 Records, or also you can get it directly online. From myspace.com, it'll be on CD Baby. We're trying to get Napster, I think, to be carrying it. Locally, it'll be available PSC, Lucky I Am PSC from The Living Legends is featured on it, and Foulmouth Jerk from GSE. And it's got some really great production on it. It's a big piece of the past 2 years of my life, and I'm happy that it's over with, and kind of sad at the same time, because it's kind of like my little baby for a while. But I hope everybody will support local independent music, and I don't know, that's pretty much pretty much. Also, I would like to say something about the benefit that I'm doing. I held Help Through Hip Hop benefit, the first one, on like just like a week ago at the Emerald Lounge for the victims of the tsunami crisis.